It's such an honor. I don't know if I say this every time, but it's such an honor for me to talk to God's people. Like, I really appreciate that. It's special to me, and I don't take these privileges lightly. It matters to me to be talking to you here tonight, and I'm thankful for that. We're going to talk about faith and faithfulness and how to be more faithful. I have some main points. We'll talk about what is faith and why it's so important to Christians. We'll talk about things that discourage our faith and encourage our faith. And lastly, how can we be more faith-filled and faithful? Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father in heaven, I come before you in the name of your son, Jesus, that by his blood, God, Father, there's nothing in me without him that's worthy of coming to you and speaking to you today. I thank you so much for your son and all that he's done for us. Thank you for that. Father, I pray that you'd bless us today. Help our hearts to hear you. I think we have busy weeks. It's a Friday, Lord. And I think some people here are probably tired and they've had a lot of things going on. And maybe their hearts get a bit encrusted or walled up, Lord. Open their hearts tonight, Father. Help them to hear you and enable me to speak in a way that matters to them. I want to be speaking to their hearts. If I'm not, there's no point. Lord, be with me and help me to speak to them in a real way so that we can be changed, God. We need to grow. There's nobody in this room that's perfect. Everybody here needs to be more like Jesus every day. Help us to learn something today so that we can be more like you. Fill us up and God, give me strength and boldness and just put words on my tongue, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. I want to hear from you tonight, Lord. And I'm just a sinful man who's weak in so many ways. And if it's just me up here alone, there's nothing for these people. There's nothing for them. Please be with me in a way that your people can be edified and grow. I love you, God. I say all of these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, I don't know why I always put my notes so far over here. Let's see what we got. You know, faith, it's kind of funny because I was fasting and praying about what am I going to talk about today? And you wouldn't think you'd have to fast and pray to know to tell people about faith, you know? It's like, that's a good Christian thing to talk about. But it took me a while to get there for whatever reason. I love this topic so much. And one of the reasons why is here in this verse in Galatians 2:16. And this is Paul talking to the Galatians. And he says, "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified." I love the way Paul talks. First of all, he talks about faith, and he doesn't typically just say faith in God. He says faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is our mediator. I like that. He does that a lot. And I want to say something here. You know, I love God's law. I love Psalm 119. I love the Old Testament. I love my theonomic brothers, wherever they may be. I love the law, but as Christians, our calling of faith is to run to Jesus Christ. And there are so many times for me, I'm going to the television, you know, I'm going to the fridge, I'm calling someone on the phone, and I'm not going to Jesus. And I got a lot of things to tell you all about faith today, and we're going to in depth rip apart faith, and I'll try to do everything I can. But if you are someone who doesn't go to Jesus, the person, if you're not meeting with him, you know what I mean? I was talking about Mitch the other day, just yesterday we were talking about this, and it's like we go to our Bibles and we read our Bibles and we go in prayer, and it's like, oh, I did 15 minutes of prayer today. I read my Bible for a half an hour. Maybe I prayed for an hour today. Maybe I read my Bible for an hour. But did you meet Jesus there? Are you meeting your Lord and Savior there? I want to be more spiritual, and I struggle to be this guy or this person in Christianity or someone who follows God, and I open up my Bible, God, tell me spiritual things. But am I going there to meet the Lord? As Christians, that's what we do. He's the one that justifies us. The law is good, and we should do our best to obey the law. But we're justified by faith in Christ alone. And he is the one we need to run to. And if anything I say tonight matters, it's this. You need to go to Jesus. You need to run to Jesus. Stop going other places. And there's 1,000 of them. And I've been there with alcohol and the drugs and the women and whatever it is. There's so many places we can run away. You need to run to him. When you're empty inside, go to him. It's the main thing. I could say that all night. This stuff about faith is great. I could tell you all night long, go to Jesus, go to Jesus. I forget that every day. And I'm a real Christian. I've been a Christian for 10 years, and I forget that all the time. All the time. Anyways. This is Hebrews 11, 1. I think you guys are probably pretty familiar with it. It's a good verse, and it gives us sort of a definition of faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And this text up here, this is NIV 84. That's my favorite translation. You can't even find it online anymore. It doesn't exist. So if you don't recognize it, that's fine. And I broke this down a couple years ago in house church, but I think it's relevant. And so I just thought I'd mention it again today. There's some things in this verse that I think can help us. And we're going to do a little Greek word stuff, but stick with me. It's good for you. Don't get lost. Don't think, oh, you know, whatever. It's some brainiac exercise and we aren't going to do anything fun tonight, you know. It's going to be good. So these words here that we see translated, and in your handouts, I have the words specifically kind of underlined and italicized so you can follow along a little better. But it says, now faith is being sure. And this word that's translated in the NIV is being sure. I think in your ESV it says assurance. And in the KJV, which actually I really like the KJV translation because it's really hyper accurate, word for word. It's just the English is so old from the 1600s, it's hard for me to follow. So I don't read the KJV that much, but as far as the translation, it's solid. In the KJV, it says substance, okay, which is a lot, I think, better than what the NIV and the ESV have done. And the Greek word here is hypostasis, and it's a mixture of two words that mean substance and under. So the exact definition from Thayer's is it says it's a thing put under a foundation or a substructure. So it says, now faith is being sure, or in the ESV, assurance. Those are kind of like subjective terms. Am I being sure? Am I assured today? Substance and substructure and foundation, those are totally objective and they're just solid. And it's there, and it's not depending on how we're feeling that day. It's a gift from God. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is one of those things. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something God puts in you. And we all need to see our faith is a thing, not a way of thinking or a way of being, but something that God has given Christians, okay? It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain, this word in the Greek is elenkos, and it means like a proof, or I think, what is this here? A proof that by which a thing is proved or tested. but it's a proof. And so if you sort of simplify this verse using elenchos and hypostasis, the verse is saying that the substructure of faith is proof of things we can't see. So that because God has given us faith, because we've been changed and we believe these things about God, that's the proof of all the stuff that we can't see, because our Christian lives are based on so much that we don't see. I've never met Jesus in the flesh, in his resurrected body, and shook in his hand, or have him touch my head like he touched John's head in Revelation. It hasn't happened with me. I've never been called up into heaven the way Paul in the Bible was. It's not me. There's so many things I haven't seen. But what this verse is saying is that your faith is proof that those other things you don't see is something inside of you. Because most of everything that is real is an invisible thing. When we die, this body is going to fade away. The thing that's invisible that you can't see in my soul and spirit, that lives forever, forever. And it always scares me, and I think I've talked to you about this, but you know, that moment, your last breath, and then everything that's you becomes invisible and slips out of your body, that scares me. All that is Paul is now this invisible force. But by faith, I believe that. That's what the Bible says, but it can be frightening. Jesus also says, so when we're talking about faith as being an objective thing, he says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You don't need bags and bags of faith. Faith is an amazing thing. And he says the smallest amount of it can do wonders. See, your faith is real. Look at it as a gift from God and the substructure and foundation of all the things that we build in our Christian life are based on this. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible, or what was visible. And we were talking about the resurrection a few weeks ago when I was up here, and people not being able to see things clearly. I think they had faith, but the sorrows of the world kind of get in our way and cloud our vision. When we're trusting God, when we're working with our faith, we see things that other people don't. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a little tiny, I don't know, I'm a deacon, but I'm this person here. But I see things in other people because of faith that they don't see, because I know what God does. I look at new believers and I go, in 10 years, that guy is going to be crazy. The day I met Alex, I wouldn't let him go. And I said, I don't know. It's just like, this guy's going to be a project and a person and a thing in my life, because I knew what God did with people like that. And I saw Alex grow into, he's married now, and they're having their baby on the way. I could see that when I met Alex, you know? And there's so many things that through the eyes of faith, it says that, you know, that we can see the universe was formed at God's command. We see through faith, we see back. No one was there when God made the world. Nobody was there. It's just him. Forever and ever and ever, everybody is going to have to be trusting God about how the universe was made, because nobody was there. You're going to have to put your faith in God that what he's telling you is true. And there's no other way for us to be as Christians. It's just, we don't know things. God does. We have to believe him. And through the eyes of faith, we see the past. We see how the universe was formed. We see the future. I know that someday, regardless of my sin and my failure and my foolishness and all the ridiculous things and good things that make up Paul, despite the worst of it and the best of it, I'm going to be in a resurrected body in the New Jerusalem with Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody that believes in him in a beautiful place that never goes away. I know that because of faith. I can see the future. You have all these people that have crystal balls, and you can dial the 800 numbers, and they read your palms and stuff like that. I can tell you what's going to happen to everybody because of faith. And I know what happened in the past. I know what happened in the past. I know how the universe was made because of faith. Faith helps us see things. And the more faith we have, the more clearly we see the past. The more faith we have, the more clearly we see the future. So when we worry so much, and God says, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. When we worry, it's like we're forgetting. No, this is going to work out. God's in control. I know what's going to happen. We see people with a lot of faith, and they seem so more relaxed and assured of themselves because they see the past and the future through the eyes of faith. Hebrews 11:6. So this is two verses real quick. Hebrews 11:6 and Romans 14:23. And we've gone over these verses before. I love them, so you probably see them in all my talks. But you don't see any other verses in the Bible talking this way. These are two verses about faith, okay? And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. No, Casey likes this verse. And Romans 14:23, it says, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And everything that doesn't come from it is sin. You don't see the Bible talking about other things that way. We need to tune in and pay attention to faith. The Bible doesn't speak in terms of that. Because if we don't, the thing is, God is the ultimate source of life. He's it. He's the only self-existent thing. He exists unto himself. He wasn't created. Everything else is created, and everything else owes its existence to him. He's the beginning and starting point of the universe, and if you don't trust that, you're in serious trouble. You must. We are required to believe in him. We must trust in him because we are not him. Even if, some people think, if God was here and talking to me, I'd believe him and trust him. That is not true. If God is standing in front of you, you still have to believe that what he's telling you is the truth. It doesn't matter if you can see him. You have to believe that he's not lying to you. Satan says, you say it's right, but I don't believe you. That's Satan's issue, unbelief. Just because God is there, just because you would be in heaven, or whatever it is, Satan used to be in heaven. He had a place in heaven. He was thrown down. Just because you see God and know him doesn't mean that you believe him. It's always required in every relationship we have that we trust. That you better trust that your car is going to start. If you don't believe your car is going to start every day, that's a horrible life to live. If you think your roof is going to rain through at night like Billy's used to be, that's frustrating. You want to trust that when the storm comes, you're going to be covered, okay? You have to put trust in everything. If you're an atheist, you've got to believe. You have a belief system too. Everything we do requires faith and belief. Everything. Sitting down, you've got to believe that chair is going to hold you up. To have any confidence in your life, you have to believe this roof isn't going to fall on you tonight. To have any confidence in life. Otherwise, you're a scared mess. And we must trust that God is good. And we must believe him. So there's no way we can get around faith. There's no way we can get around believing in things. We have to believe. Every relationship requires trust. If you're in a marriage and you don't trust each other, you're going to get divorced. Everything requires trust. Everything. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Everything in this room here is going to be gone one day. Our bodies are going to be gone. These chairs aren't going to be here. Jesus said about the temple, every stone is going to be thrown down one on top of the other. Everything in this world is going to be erased and changed. We can't constantly be focusing on the world. And that's where I find myself all the time. How can the world fix me today? All the time I'm looking to the world to relieve my pain and suffering instead of going to these unseen eternal things. And that starts with Jesus. And it starts with the things in heaven. And it starts with the believers too, because the greatest commandment is not just to love God, but to love your neighbor as yourself, because people live forever. Everybody lives forever, even bad people. They live forever in hell. But nobody ever goes away permanently. These souls, every soul in here will always exist. The chairs won't always be here. The lights won't always be here. This church won't always be here. So as Christians, we focus on the truth, which is the unseen eternal things that everybody else is getting lost on. The world is getting lost on all the temporary things, the things that are going to go away, the things that even if you're the billionaire that has everything you want, it's not going to last longer than at least 100 years. That's it. As Christians, we're called to focus on the things that really last because we're called to follow the truth, not a lie. We're truth followers, not liars, and we're not called to follow a lie. And everything here is not permanent, so God says don't put your faith there because you're going to get heartbroken because it ain't going to last. Let's, this verse I like, and so we'll talk about real quick some things that encourage and discourage our faith. And it's good news and bad news, and we'll start with the bad news. These are things for me, and I think for you too, that discourage me. And this verse says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. I can't tell you how I'm doing well with my faith all the time, and then something happens to me where some person has a nicer car, nicer house, nicer wife, nicer kids, nicer everything, and I just get discouraged. And don't envy sinners. Even worse, people at church. There's so many people here at this church that I'm like, wish I was them, you know what I mean? They got more stuff, they got more money, they got more houses, they got more people, they seem like they sleep at night. I don't sleep much at night, you know? And I'm like, I want to be those people. It's wrong. Don't covet anything. 10th commandment. Don't be coveting. That's how I remind myself of the 10th commandment. But don't covet things, okay? We're not to covet. We're not to envy sinners. I clicked on the TV the other day to watch one of the NBA playoffs. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I watch sports and some documentaries here and there. Maybe The Office once in a while. But that's about it. But I turned on to watch the NBA Finals, and it was Extra. And you guys have seen Extra before. But it was Extra, Mansions, and Millionaires, man. Have you ever seen that one? It was just like, everything's like, these are all things you'll never have, Paul. Dream on, buddy. And I was so discouraged and depressed by the end of it. I was just looking at that and going, good grief, you know? It was like the Jay-Z and Beyonce's house in the Hollywood Hills in Malibu or something like that and all this junk. And I just got discouraged. I'm like, I'm never going to have one of those, you know? And it was this pool. They had a pool on the upstairs and the downstairs. So, you know, we got the party going on downstairs. Hey, guys, there's a better party in my house upstairs. I'm never going to have two pools. Anyways, it was highly discouraging. And I think as Christians, envying the world is trouble. You look at Jesus when he was fasting out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came to him. And he says, if you worship me, this world and all that it has, I'll give it to you. And Jesus says, no. He says, you know, we're to worship and love the Lord our God and serve him only. And we go, amen, that's awesome. But as Christians, here's what we do. Yeah. Okay, here's the world. I know I'm not supposed to take that, and I know I'm supposed to worship and serve God only. Is there any way that I can have both? Can I worship and serve God and have all the cool things in the world that I want at the same time? Jesus didn't say that. He said, no, I'm serving my dad and that's it. Sorry, buddy, okay? But in my life, the struggle is I want the world and God at the same time. You can't have it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. If your treasure is worldly things, your heart is going to belong to the world. If your treasure is spiritual things, it will belong to heaven. And that's who we need to belong to. Another thing that discourages me when others fail us, especially Christians, because I'll be doing good in my faith, and then someone who I consider really faithful lets me down, I go, oh, well, if he's been a Christian for 5 or 6 years or 10 years, and he's so sanctified, and he just, you know, kind of lied to me, like, where's God in all this, you know? What is faith if people I know who are Christians are constantly not keeping their word? And that includes me, because I make mistakes. I get discouraged when that happens. So I think as Christians, we need to remember when we say things, follow through, because it not only makes us look bad, it discourages their faith, you know? It discourages other people's faith when we don't show up for things. When we don't come to church, the people that are here go, why, if the church is so great, why aren't people here? Why didn't they show up this week? Encourage your brothers and sisters by showing up to things. I go witnessing a lot, as you know, and there's been nights when I'm there by myself and people show up and it just fills my heart with joy. It's like, oh man, just one brother, you know, you get encouraged. Another thing that discourages me in faith is personal suffering weakens my faith. When bad things happen to me, I kind of lose faith in God a lot. You know, if I'm a Christian, why should bad things happen to me? I think a lot of us have the attitude that we're willing to trust God as long as we get what we want. And when we don't get what we want, we kind of go somewhere else. We turn to the world. We turn to our flesh. We turn to sin. Personal suffering is hard. And I think a lot of times when I think we see people here in the church and we go, their lives are really easy and they're doing really well. They must be really faithful. And then sometimes you see someone who's going through a lot of problems and you go, well, they must be something wrong. That's not true at all. If you look in your Bible, all the good people who were close to the Lord struggled and fought for their sanity. So it's not the size of the waves that are crashing into your boat. It's what your boat's made out of. And if your boat's made out of Christ and faith, you're going to be safe. But personal suffering can be hard. Don't let it discourage you. Personal suffering is often a time that shows God is blessing you and that God loves you, because that's what happened to the men of the Bible. Don't be discouraged by it. Another thing that discourages my faith is when I think God told me something, but it turns out he didn't tell me something. A lot of times we get our hopes up and we want things and we have dreams and we have fantasies and we have all these lives that we're living. It's like we're on TV ourselves or something in our mind and we're praying for stuff and we think, God told me that I'm going to be with this woman. God told me I'm going to live in this neighborhood and things are going to work out. God told me to go buy this car. God told me, and it goes on and on and on. Well, when the thing doesn't work out, we get really angry at God, because God, you told me. And we have to be really careful about what God says and doesn't say. Obviously, if it's in the Bible, it's true. But when you're just led to do something, don't feel necessarily it's God speaking to you. What we need to do as Christians and as people of faith is go, I've done what I can. I've researched it. I've sought the Lord on this. And you know what? I'm going to step forward in faith and go. And if the house burns down or the woman turns crazy or whatever it is, I'm going to be faithful with it. Not God told me everything's going to be perfect, because if God told you for the perfect woman, if God told you for the perfect neighborhood, if God told you for the perfect car, it doesn't exist. Entropy exists, and everything is in a state of decay, and every person you marry is going to be a sinner, and they're going to let you down and hurt your feelings and not listen to you sometimes. That's life, and it's not God being wrong. We need to trust God in those moments. There's nobody perfect. There's no perfect way. I think a lot of times we're waiting for the perfect situation for God to tell us what to do instead of acting on faith. We're waiting for this perfect, the Cinderella pumpkin thing with the, I don't know what it looks like. I don't watch enough Disney movies. We're waiting for that to roll up to the house. That's not going to happen. We need to move out in faith. We're not trusting God if we're always waiting for the perfect thing and for God to tell us the perfect situation. That's not trusting the Lord. We need to trust the Lord and show confidence and just, this is what I'm going to do, Lord. I've tried my best. I'm moving forward in faith. I pray that you bless it. That's it. And you go from there, and there's nothing perfect. One more thing before we go to Romans 10:17. The biggest, I think, struggle for me in discouraging my faith is my own sin, when we sin, when I screw up, and when I do things that I know are wrong on purpose. Like, there are times when I sin, and it's kind of like, maybe it's sort of other people's fault or something. Like, well, Lord, I didn't really want, or, you know, the woman you put here, she gave me the fruit and I ate it or something like that. There's like, I can work my way out of this. But there are times when I know I'm giving the finger to God by doing this, but I'm going to do it anyways because I want to do this, okay? There are times when I willingly sin against the Lord. And because I'm a Christian and because I've been reborn, it hurts. And my sin goes straight down. I don't have any more sin after that. It's painful. Sorry, did I say I don't have any sin after that? I don't have any faith after that. It's painful. Nothing ruins my faith more than my own sin. But as Christians, we need to realize and see so much that in the depths of our sin, even when it's perfectly intentional, even when we intentionally said, God, I'm going to do this anyways. I know that it's wrong. I'm going to do it anyways. We need to turn to him. Nobody in this room is worse. Well, okay, I don't know all of your sin privately, but look at David. He killed a man so he could sleep with his wife. That's really awful. Did he run from the Lord? Maybe for a little while, but when Nathan confronted him, you know, you are the man. Yeah. He said he was guilty. And read Psalm 51. And he's pleading with God, don't take your spirit from me. Cleanse me. Be with me. He didn't run. I think as Christians, especially I think for newer Christians, some of you guys who are newer Christians, you're on this high where it's like, oh, I'm doing so good, I'm doing so good, I'm doing so good. And then you screw up and then you're like, oh man, I'm not worthy of the calling of being a Christian anymore. I experienced that a lot for my first couple of years as a Christian. Don't ever run from the Lord in your sin. Always run to him. He's always the answer. The answer is yes in Christ, always. Never run away from him. Even if what you did was totally intentional, grievous, and stupid, and whatever, you run to Jesus in your sin. And amen to that. Let's talk about things that encourage our faith real quick. God's word and prayer. Read your Bibles. Pray. We hear this all the time. But that's what we need to do. That's what we don't do. That's what we need to do. I know a lot of you are Christians. You've been Christians for a long time. You're not reading your Bible every day. And you're not seeking the Lord in prayer. Like we were talking about. Meeting with Jesus. I do a lot of things and I'm not actually meeting with Christ. Really, really think about him. He's a person. He's a real person. He's real. He's a person. And he loves you. And he knows everything about you. Psalm 139 or 1 John 3:20. He knows everything. You can't hide anything from him. Go to him first. You go, I don't get the law. I don't get my Bible. I don't understand my own sin. I don't know why I don't love you so much. Go to him about it. Go to your Lord and Savior. That's who he is. He saves us not in our accidents, not in our mistakes, but in our willful running away from him. He saves us. That's what a Savior does. He saves us from our sins. He doesn't save us from the good things that we do. He doesn't save us from the accidents that happen to us. He saves us from our sins, our willful turning away from him. He's your Savior. Find him in prayer. Find him in your Bible. Please read that. And that's where faith comes from. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We're talking about all this stuff about faith. Where does it come from? Where do we get it, Paul? Where's, you know, if faith is so cool, where can we buy some? The word of Christ, it comes through hearing the message of the gospel. That's where faith comes from. You don't have faith, go to your Bible. You don't have faith, talk about the gospel with somebody. That's where faith comes from, hearing the message, from hearing the message. That's why we talk about the gospel so much. That's why we talk about the cross so much, because that's where faith comes from, and faith is what saves us. So it's important here at this church, okay? You know, one of the other things I was thinking about, and we get lost in the... we've been doing so good and this and that. Even in our reading and in our prayer, it's like, oh, I've been reading and I'm praying so well. And then we skip out a few days and we get discouraged. And I think that's one of the reasons sometimes we can't get back on track because we've been off track. And we were following Christ and we were doing these things and we were reading our Bibles, but we stopped for a while and we get discouraged. But what I want you to know is God doesn't forget those sweet times, because we forget as people the good times we have with the Lord. God never forgets. He doesn't forget all the times we spent crying to him and speaking to him. It's all right here in perfect harmony in his mind. We can go to him. He never forgets that. We forget. God never forgets. So just go. Just start over and go. Go to him. I'm going to skip that. The basis of time. Let's talk about evangelism just a little bit, because I know you guys know that I do that. I've been going Thursdays and Fridays this is my fifth year now, and I'm a weak, foolish person, but God has blessed me in that. It's really great. And sharing your faith, what I do, and Mitch has been coming with me, and Carrie, I don't know if she's here tonight, a lot of you have been out there with me. It's not for everybody. I don't think that everybody's called to be out there on the streets. We all have a different calling in the Lord, in the body of Christ. We all fulfill different things. There's work that needs to be done everywhere, and we can't all be at the same place at the same time. So I'm not saying you should all be out there with me at Temple Square and down at the Gateway, but what I do think is that we should all be sharing the gospel, because that's where faith comes from. So in whatever way that you do that, be sharing your faith over and over and over again at your work, with the people you know, with your husbands, if they're not saved, with your wives, if they're not saved. You constantly need to be sharing. And I think through faithfulness, awesome things happen. And this is a quick story. Last year, in the wintertime, I've complained and talked about this a lot. I hate witnessing in winter. I hate cold weather. It's just a curse and blight upon humanity. I don't like cold. I love being sweaty and gross, okay? And in the wintertime, last year, I was out there, and I'm like, you know, I'm getting in my car. God, you know, going down there, nothing's going to happen. This is what I say to myself. How is someone going to get saved if my brain's frozen and I can't talk to people? Because that's happened to me before. I've talked to guys and said, I know the answer to that, but I'm so cold, I can't think of it. So come back in a few months. I've literally said that to people because when you're out there in 20 degrees for like 3 hours, you're just like this, and you're like trying to be awesome and share. It doesn't happen. Anyways, so this was one of the nights when I was out there in my jacket, and this girl came up to me, and she said, "You're the guy." And I said, you know, what guy? What did I do? She says, "You're that guy." And I didn't know. I honestly didn't know what she was talking about. And she goes, "Well, you know, I've met you before at the Gateway." And we were at the temple. She said, "I've met you before at the Gateway." And she said, "I talked to you with my mom, and I was an LDS person, and you talked to both of us for a long time." And she said, "You're the guy that talked to me." And she says, "I want you to know that I drove home that night with my mom, and she did not like anything you said. She was really mad at you. But I told my mom, I think what he was saying is true and that it's right." And she said, "A month and a half after I talked to you, I got saved and I became a Christian." And she said, "I want you to know that you changed my life. Thank you so much." And it was kind of funny because I'm like, I still don't know who she was, you know. I'm like, "Are you okay, maybe?" And I said, "What's your name?" She goes, "Gabby." And I said, "What's your mom's name?" She goes, "Elizabeth." And I go, "Okay, cool. Well, thank you very much," you know. And she was there with two Christian brothers, and she'd be going to a Christian church for a year and a half, and she said, "Solid Christian, I'm real." And I asked her friends, you know, gave them a little faith quizzes, and they were legit, and I was pretty excited. But I didn't know if I'd actually ever talked to her yet. And I went home, and I checked my Twitter feed because I ask for prayer all the time. And we have this year. And so this is in 2012. So I just talked to her last year. It was 2014 in like November or December. In 2012, I said, "Witnessing was a great night tonight. God really blessed us. Pray for Elizabeth and Gabby, praise God, because I felt like it was a good conversation and maybe something happened and we should pray for her." And when I found that on my Twitter feed, I just, you know, freaked out. I was crying. It was pretty awesome. I'm like, I really did talk to her, and she got saved. It was really cool. Amen. But the thing is the faithfulness of going out week after week, on and on, over and over again, you don't see this stuff all the time. You never know when you're sowing seeds what's going to happen. Who knows how many people you've talked to and said little things or given them a church card. You don't know whether or not they got saved or what happened. This doesn't happen to me every day. I've prayed with a lot of people, and I've talked with a lot of people, and I've had people bawl and all this stuff. I don't know if they got saved. She seemed legit, and it was real, and it encouraged me. But that was only there because I was faithful in the wintertime. Now, I talked to her originally in the summer, you know? So be faithful with stuff. So we're just about to the end here, and I think I'm going long tonight. So these are some quick pictures. I'm not a faithful person, okay? I'm not. I try to show up to things. I really don't. I'm a weak, sinful slacker a lot of the times. I don't have what it takes to be the kind of Christian I'd want to be a lot, and I need things to help me and remind me. I know some of you guys, when you pray, you do prayer journaling. I was talking to Dan just a minute ago, and he was talking about how he's been journaling about his life to help him reflect with God. I've seen Josh's prayer lists. They're extensive, and he prays for like this, you know, group A on Tuesday, group B on Wednesday, and it's meticulous and great, and it works for him. What I'm saying is you all need to find ways that work for you and your personality that help you to be more faithful. And this is one of those amazing things for me, and I'm only sharing it with you because it's helped me like no other to be faithful. And it might not be for your personality, and it might not work for you, but it works for me. I go on prayer walks at night, okay? It takes about 50 minutes. When I started, it was like a half hour. I can't sit in my room for 50 minutes. I have ADD or whatever it is. There's no way I'm sitting in my room and praying for 50 minutes. If I go outside of my house and walk, I can do it. So I go on prayer walks, and what I started doing is naming buildings after people and problems so I can pray for them there. And there are buildings that tie into that. The first block of my walk, I give glory to God and I give thanks to God. The second block, I pray for my leaders, Billy, Brian, and Josh, just for them and their families. And after that, I have another block or so, and I pray for my small group, everybody in my small group, by name, I pray for them. And then these things start kicking in. This is the Mount Tabor Lutheran Church. I have never been there, and I'm sure the theology is awful. I've heard some things because one of my friends went there, and he's like, dude, you'd be afraid of getting struck by lightning if you went in there. But I've never been, so who knows? And they have the rainbow flag in the window. And I have a lot of, at this church here, we believe homosexuality is a sin. But I have Christian friends who are struggling with this, okay? They don't want to be this way anymore, and they're fighting with it. I pray for them there. Every time I walk by that church, it's time for them. And there's three or four people that I know, and I pray for them faithfully. And I can't help it. You walk by that, you can't help it but pray there, okay? Every time. This is the Booth Saith Photography Studio, and I was going to say Jesse and Kaylee Kilgrow. They're not in here. Kaylee's a photographer, so this is a photography studio. Easy to remind me every time I see it. I pray for their family and baby Cannon. This is used to be the Salt Lake Theological Seminary. It's now just a regular business building. But little Nathan, who's not here tonight, he's always talking to me theology and telling me how he wants to be this guy and go to England and learn all this stuff. So I pray for him at the old Salt Lake Theological Seminary. Every time I see that, when I walk by every night. This is on the other side, and this is a garage that leaves. And actually, it's funny, Casey's sitting in the front row. I pray for Casey right past this. There's a little section, okay? In this garage, there's a brother that I know that I've been praying for years, and he's not even here anymore, and he doesn't even come to church, and he's lost. And he used to love theology, and now I don't know what he believes. I pray for him here every night I go on my prayer walk, and I loved him. This little thing in the sidewalk to me looks like sushi, and I walk the same route every night, so I pass this every night, and this is where I pray for my buddy Alex. He loves sushi, and I pray for Lashera, his wife, and their baby who they've refused to call baby Goliath, but they're calling Gideon, I think, at this point. I don't know. Okay. I wanted him to call Goliath, but I get it. I pray for them there at the sushi mark. This is this big white building. I don't know what it is, but it reminds me of purity, and it's white and all this stuff. I pray for the church's purity. I pray for all of your purity and my purity every time I pass it. This is the Bryant Middle School. I pray for unity in our church. It's like a big building, and I go, hey, I pray for the unity of our church. And just past us on the other side, there's a little fence. And every time I walk that fence, I don't say anything. That's my quiet time with God. That's where I quit talking. And I hope that God speaks to me there. This is the Eastgate Apartments. To me, it looks like a hospital. It doesn't look so much there, but it looks like a hospital. It's on my prayer walk. I always pass it. I pray for all the sick people in our church. And I've been praying for Andrew's toe surgery that's coming up there. And I'm not going to mention everybody else who has an illness, but Becca's knee just got operated on. I pray for the sick people here. Every time I go, it always reminds me. I can't help it. And this is not because I'm good. It's because I'm not faithful that I pray at these places. This is a little thing, and if you can, it's a house, and you see these marks on here. They've been skating and rail sliding on this. Marie Gallegos that comes to this church has a skate park ministry, and I pray for her ministry there. This bush right here, this looks like nothing? It's about 13 feet tall. It's huge. It goes almost up to the ceiling. It's huge. It's really big. You can't tell it's huge, and it has these waxy leaves. And I come from California, and I love plants with thick, waxy leaves. And it's been a special place for me forever, but I never had anything to pray for it there. And I was holding out, and I was holding out. And a few weeks ago, when Travis's wife passed away, that became their place. And I pray for Travis and Clayton and Owen and Shay there every night. And it's one of my favorite places. This place to me looks like a prison. It's an apartment complex, but these are all wires and stuff. I pray for all the lost people there, that they be not end up in hell. This is the Dollar Tree store. I pray for my finances at the Dollar Tree store. You know, I don't know why that's funny. Okay. This is the La Parisienne Apartments. I used to date a girl that lived there. And when I walk past this, I pray for an opportunity to ask all the people that I basically wronged and made a mess of their lives when I was in my 20s and my life was abandoned over to sin. I pray for an opportunity to talk to each one of them and ask for their forgiveness when I walk by this, and hopefully one day that will happen. So I have three quick verses, and I'm not going to give you exposition on them. I'm just going to read them, and then we're finished. But these are verses to remind you what you need to do. Go to Jesus. There's no other answers. If you want faith, go to Jesus. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do zero, nothing. Jesus, without him, you can do nothing, please. Paul, when he was, read through the book of Acts and look at Paul's preaching. It's Jesus Christ this, Jesus that, resurrected Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's all he says. And he says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Your faith and your Christian life in this church doesn't amount to a hill of beans unless you're thinking about Jesus all the time. Jesus, more Jesus. This is the last verse. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Go to him. He's the author. He's the perfecter. He's the one. He's the one. Go to Jesus. Please, when you're done here with church tonight, go to Jesus. You can never trust God and be wrong. You can never trust Jesus and be wrong. Never, ever. Okay? I love you guys. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are good, and thank you, Lord, for the patience of these people putting up with me. God, I'm so grateful for you. Bless our hearts and change us, Lord. Make us different. Make us more like you. Help us depend on you. Help us to see how important you are. Lord, we love you. I pray for this body of believers here. Help them to follow you and have faith in you. I say all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.